South Korea, come on down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this morning as we continue with the international fallout from the financial crisis. South Korea has joined the bank bailout game. The government will guarantee up to $100 billion in foreign debt held by its banks and inject $30 billion more into the banking sector. South Korea's currency has lost 30% of its value against the dollar this year, and its banks have scrambled to repay foreign currency loans. Most Asian stock markets are taking heart. South Korea's main index is up more than 2% today. Hong Kong surged 4.3%. Japan's up a percent after some positive corporate earnings. Mainland China shares are down as China reported third quarter economic growth of 9%. Sounds good here, but it's the slowest in China in more than 5 years. Major European markets are up 1 to 2% today. The Dutch government has announced its own bank rescue, pumping $13 billion into the ING Group. From the European desk in London, Stephen Beard has that.
The Dutch government is buying a $13 billion stake in ING and will take a couple of seats on the bank's supervisory board. Analysts are astounded. ING seemed squeaky clean, unpolluted with toxic assets. But on Friday, the bank's share price slumped by 27%. The bank then announced it had made its first ever quarterly loss. This is worrying, says fund manager Ewan Sterling, because the trouble stems from the bank's conventional investments like shares, bonds and property.
We're now seeing the economic impact of falling asset prices. And we've seen the stock market falling quite precipitously this year so far. And it's the losses on traditional assets that seem to have hit ING.
The Dutch finance minister said ING is still healthy, but the bank needs the buffer of extra capital in these extraordinary times. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Continuing the theme, the Swedish government has also announced $200 billion in credit guarantees to its banks and mortgage lenders. And government intervention was the topic over the weekend at Camp David, as President Bush met with leaders of France and the European Union. Bush says he will host a world summit on the global financial system. Nariman Baravish is chief economist at the research and consulting firm Global Insight. He says any agreements at that summit will probably be limited.
Most of the past attempts to kind of design top-down a new financial order for the global economy really haven't gone that far and haven't been that successful. So at this point, frankly, I think we're a little skeptical.
Meanwhile, Congress is holding at least half a dozen hearings this week on the U.S. banking industry. Steve Henn reports that members would rather be back home campaigning, but they also want to come up with a plan for after the election.
Arthur Levitt, the former chairman of the SEC, is pretty blunt when discussing what led up to the current mess.
Our regulatory system failed to adapt to important, dynamic, and potentially lethal new financial instruments.
Levitt told the Senate Banking Committee last week the system is now broken.
We need a dramatic rethinking of our financial regulatory architecture, the biggest since the New Deal.
Mike Calhoun is president of the Center for Responsible Lending. He says job one is plugging the gaps in oversight.
Many of the worst subprime loans were sold by firms that operated under state charters and had very little supervision.
The industry knows more oversight is coming, especially in entirely unregulated areas like the multi-trillion dollar market in credit default swaps. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, working to provide responsible, sustainable energy to power America's future. Constellation Energy, the way energy works. And by The Economist, every week covering issues that matter around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
When Congress passed its bailout package, it also limited the pay for CEOs of these rescued financial firms. Well, reporter Rachel Dornhelm wanted to know how this might affect all executive compensation.
Right after crafting the historic bailout package, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi faced the press.
We sent a message to Wall Street. The party is over. The era of golden parachutes for high-flying Wall Street operators is over.
Wall Street salaries really took off in the early 80s, says Charles Elson. He's the director of the Corporate Governance Program at the University of Delaware. He says where the banks led, the bread-and-butter industries followed.
Investment bankers were drawing tremendous amounts of money. The CEOs of the companies who these bankers were servicing said, well, if I'm producing the goods, why should I not receive at least as much as those who are simply raising capital?
Back then, CEOs' salaries were 40 times larger than the average worker's. Today, they are 600 times the size. Mark Borges is a compensation consultant. With numbers like that, he says there's little wonder CEO pay has become so hotly debated.
Because it's the one thing that I think we're all eminently qualified to understand and analyze. It's a real meat and potatoes issue.
Borges says it's still very early in the game, but the guidelines could affect CEO pay in all industries. Corporate governance professor Charles Elson says think of these rules like a pebble tossed into water.
Drop this stone in, and the reverberations of these kinds of limits go way beyond the institutions that are being regulated.
Defenders of high executive pay say companies have to offer large packages to attract great talent. But Elson says he expects company boards, which negotiate executive pay, will be forced to re-examine their hiring practices.
Boards fearful of governmental intervention, regulation, fearful of litigation, will begin to incorporate those kinds of limits or at least some restraints into the pay packages that they're negotiating.
Elson says Congress could take up the issue of broader CEO compensation regulation early next year. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow will open at 8,852 after a 127-point loss yesterday. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.